Hello, and welcome to the Brutal Iron Gym Podcast, where our goal is to cut through the BS and deliver the brutal truth about topics related to health and happiness. Today's podcast number 2003, the topic is training, and the title is Managing External Rotation Shoulder Pain During Back Squats. Little nuanced today, but for those of you who are dealing with shoulder pain associated with back squats, you're going to be very happy. For those of you who are not struggling with that, but you decide to listen anyhow, you will learn how to not have to struggle with that, which will also hopefully make you very happy. So thank you for listening today. I hope you get what you need out of today's podcast. If you have any questions after the podcast or during the podcast, reach out on our website, www.brutalirongym.com. On the bottom of the homepage is a contact form. You can always send me any questions. So if you're listening to today's podcast, you have any questions to anything that's a hiccup or a hindrance to making sure that today's information helps, just let me know. I'm happy to help. I love hearing from people with the podcast. It's awesome and motivational to hear people listening and from like all the different places across the world, which is super cool. So please don't ever hesitate to reach out. I am always happy to help. Okay, so one of my powerlifting clients, they are changing from a USPA to the USAPL. So they're changing federations. If you're not familiar with powerlifting, they have different kind of groups, federations is the term, but different groups, and they have their own set of rules, and you would kind of compete in this one group, or you go and compete in this other group, and it's like different leagues. Like if you're familiar with the NFL or the NBA, NHL, MLB, all those things, it would imagine having like a couple NFLs. So there was like that XFL they tried to build. There's Canadian football league. So imagine like a couple different leagues that you would choose from. So powerlifting, you're choosing from, there's a lot. There's going to be more than I will name right now, so I apologize to anybody I don't name. But there's USPA, USAPL, USPC, WRPF, RPS, there's, I guarantee, a bajillion more, so I won't name them all because I don't even know them all. But there's a lot of leagues to pick from. What's nice is there is a kind of unifying ranking system. Depending on whatever league you compete in, there is a way to unify and kind of see the ranking across all the different leagues, quote-unquote, all the different federations. But typically people will compete within their own federation, go to like a national level and win the nationals, but it's kind of nationals for their federation. Okay. Now, with that in said, they're switching from USPA to USAPL. Some notable differences, and what pertains to today's podcast is a barbell change. In the USPA and some other federations, there are different barbells allowed for the three lifts. So in powerlifting, you compete the heaviest squat you can lift and do it with the proper technique in front of the judges, then the heaviest bench and the heaviest deadlift. You get three attempts. Typically, people are not going like full out max on all three. The first attempt is something you know you're going to be able to do, so that way you get an attempt that counts for the competition. The second one, you're like, I kind of sort of maybe think I can do this. And if you get it, on the third one, you're like, I have no freaking clue if I'm getting this, but wouldn't it be awesome if I did? So that's kind of the way it goes. So you get three attempts in front of the judges. Hopefully you get all three, like surprise yourself, and then you add up your best squat, your best bench, your best deadlift, and that adds up to what's called a total. And then per weight class, whoever has the highest total, they're kind of the winner of their weight class. And then at each competition, they do have like best lifter of the meet kind of award, which is really like the best lifter of who showed up that day. So really what you want to compete with when it comes to powerlifting is against yourself. You're just going to try to make continuous improvements. And then when you compare where you are to other people, you would compare on, I think it's called Open Powerlifting now. It used to be called like powerliftingwatch.com, but now it's Open Powerlifting. You would compare against the like national collection of totals and see like where you rank. So a lot of the lifters I have, unlike more like elite levels, it's super awesome because we're chasing down those rankings and trying to, you know, get as high as we can, which is super fun. But they're switching from USPA, where you use a squat bar, which is a thicker and wider barbell. Like, it's a longer barbell. And that's of note because you can have your hands wider on the bar, which allows for a lessened external rotational stress in the shoulders. Then you have a regular barbell for benching, and then they use what's called a deadlift bar, which is a thinner barbell. It's still long. It's actually longer than a regular barbell, but it's thinner in material. And that is allows for the bar to bend as the weight starts to come off the ground. You typically have to start to be kind of like over 400 pounds or 200 kilograms, somewhere in there. You have to be at that weight for the bar to actually start to bend a little bit. And there's some benefits for like health is as you would drive the bar off the ground, it's there's more time for the load to transition into the spine. It might be like milliseconds, but that's enough for it to be noticeable for the body. But it can help improve lower back health because it's not such a jar shock onto the body as the bar comes off the ground. Now, that's the USPA and a couple other federations. You have this thicker, longer bar for squatting, a regular bar, and then a thinner, longer bar for deadlifting. Now, in the USAPL and some other federations, you just use a regular bar, which is sometimes also referred to as a stiff bar, for all three lifts. And the stiff is specific to the deadlift, meaning this bar will not bend. If you use a regular barbell, like a good competition quality barbell, you could be lifting like 800 pounds and that bar really isn't going to bend much. So it's stiff, which is why it's called a stiff bar. The reason why that's of note for today's podcast, we're talking about squats, is a regular barbell is shorter than a squat bar. So you have to have your hands narrower, which then increases stress on the external rotation of the shoulders. Now, for a lot of people, they're never going to use the full width of a squat bar for their hands. They're never going to use the full width of a regular bar for their hands. But for some people, they do. It does make a difference. I'm one of those people. It has to do with shoulder mobility, definitely some degrees of shoulder anatomy, and then just overall external shoulder health. For myself, I've injured my shoulders when I was in high school playing football, dislocated both my shoulders, tore up a lot of stuff. I have fixed my shoulders, and I used to be able to squat with a regular bar totally fine. Now, that is very, very, very painful. I have to kind of do a lot of therapy to get my shoulders to open up enough to get my full grip onto a regular barbell to squat, so much so that I don't bother doing it because it's so intensive to make that happen. And it's because I just lost some shoulder mobility due to injury. My anatomy doesn't work really well for it. I have really short upper arm bones, which creates more torque. And there's just some other things I have going on. Now, it doesn't, not woe is me. I'm fine. But there are options where you can get like a squat bar, my hands will fit on fine, and you can also change your grip. So the client that I was working with, they're a bigger build of a human being. They compete at 242 pounds, and we have lost weight to get to that, and they're looking really good body composition-wise at 242, and they're going to continue to build more muscle, continue to lose fat, but they're heavy, muscle-bound person. They're strong. They're meant to be 242. So they're going to continue to just fill that out. Now, for them, that external rotation is very challenging on a stiff bar, low bar position. For their anatomy, low bar is absolutely a must for them versus like a high bar squat. Some people can be very strong in high bar, some people not. He is unfortunately in the not category, as am I. Our long femurs, different like torso length, it doesn't work well to do high bar. It overloads the quads. You don't have enough glutes and like support. So it's not a well balanced load between the muscles available. Whereas low bar does better balance the load across the quads and the glutes and the lower back for stability. So low bar is what he needs. when we were doing the USPA and he had a squat bar, he could use what's called a talon grip, which is you, instead of having all four fingers over the bar and your thumb under the bar, how you typically would hold a bar for squatting, you're going to just put your pointer finger and middle finger over the bar, and your thumb, your ring finger, and pinky finger are going to be under the bar. So it's a talon. Like, think of like an eagle. Eagle talon. Grr. Eagles do not go grr, first of all. So I have no clue. Like, probably some kind of weird squeak noise that I'm not going to make. But talon grip, we'll move on, is what we would use. And the reason why I use a talon grip is it reduces some of the twist that you need to have in your wrist, which then reduces the twist that is compensatory, like compensatedly made in the elbow. So if you twist your wrist, your elbow joint is going to twist to some degree. But you would also have the twist of the elbow coming from the external rotation of the shoulder, and they're countering. So you would have torque and twist in one direction, and then you turn your wrist to do a full-on grip, and it would counter that, and it creates a lot of strain in the elbow. So if you change to a talon grip, it reduces some of the twist in the wrist, which then reduces some of the twist in the elbow, which reduces some of your elbow pain. So if somebody's having shoulder pain and they're on like a regular squat bar, if you can't make your hands any wider, you can switch to a talon grip, and that can help. The challenge is, though, in the USPA, a talon grip is allowed. In the USAPL, a talon grip is not. So this client is making this change, and what we went from was they have to use low bar because it's anatomically going to be their strongest position. Not even something we can change with weak point training focus. And even if they were to do front squats and high bar squats and do that for, you know, 2-3 years to try to build out their quads, it's still going to be a crappier position than low bar just due to their anatomy. So we need a low bar position. We went from a squat bar and talon grip, which is a wider grip and a grip that released wrist stress. Now we're switching to a shorter bar and no talon grip, but we still need the low bar position. So the change is going to, and currently is, causing shoulder pain for the client. So the client's experiencing shoulder pain, a little bit of side-to-side imbalance. We went through 4 weeks of training coming out of the previous USPA position, the squat bar talon grip position, and we did 4 weeks of regular, now full hand grip, regular bar squatting, and he's experiencing some pain. Now, in our workouts, we would typically already have built in some external rotational therapies. I do that for all of my clients, even if they don't compete in powerlifting. Just everybody struggles with good posture. So I include postural and shoulder mobility drills into their workouts, as well as things for the hip and for the core to stabilize and brace and balance the lower back, to eliminate lower back stress. So there's a lot of corrective therapies already in my clients' programming. I do that all the time, just that way we can, you know, not only crush all of our other goals, but we're going to do that with increasing health. The challenge for this client is the amount of external rotational therapies that have been included in the programming was enough to sustain the squat bar talon grip. And when we switched to a full grip squat bar, I did add some of those therapies. It's only been 4 weeks. So you can't open up that much external rotational health in just 4 weeks, even with increased therapies. So what we're looking to do now is we have to make some adjustments. Now, in their journal, all my online clients, we have a journal. It's just a Google Doc. I just title it My Journal and then use their name. And it's private for them. It's just me and them. They can write in anything they want. I answer any of the questions. We also do weekly reviews that include nutrition, training videos, and just general training thoughts. So they had made a note that they were experiencing the shoulder pain. They even included a photo, which was awesome, to where we could see the positioning for them and see just the amount of strain it was causing and a little bit of that side-to-side imbalance. So I wrote back in their journal, in regards to shoulder external rotation for powerlifters, it can be challenging to maintain optimal health because they need some degree of limited motion so they can create torque and stability in their shoulders for thoracic support in the squat and that torque and stability in bench press. So there is some degree of limited motion that you actually want. Now, there's an enormous number of asterisks to that, but the point is you don't want someone to be hypermobile in their shoulder if you're going to be loading the shoulder in a position where it requires stabilization and or kind of torque, in the sense of you're trying to load the tissue as it torques and stretches under load, that it's going to get a stretch reflex effort back into the contraction. We want enough of tension and tightness to create the torque to accept and load into a torque, so that way we get the stretch reflex strength, but we want just enough to get to the like to the amount of torque we need, and then the muscle will help snap back as we contract it. But if we have too little of that torque, we get into shoulder pain. If we have too much torque, then you lose stabilization. So there is a degree of shoulder mobility that is short of full human potential that we would actually want. We don't want the full human potential of shoulder mobility because that takes away stabilization, that can take away some strength. However, if we don't have enough openness in the shoulders, we get the shoulder pain as the client is experiencing in the back squats. So we want some tightness to be strong, but we want openness to get into the necessary positions. This means you can't singularly focus on mobility and take away all external rotation limitation. You actually want to have some limitation to create the torque and the stabilization you need for back squats and bench press. But I don't want this client to be in pain when they squat. So that's what we're looking at. We're saying, okay, we don't have enough mobility currently that's causing the pain. But we don't want to just take away all mobility restriction. We don't want to turn them into like a pretzel where they can wrap themselves like a yoga instructor wrap themselves into a pretzel and be loosey-goosey. That's not good. I actually have trained clients who have hypermobility issues, and they were having chronic joint pain due to that. So I literally have helped people who were too mobile, and you did see loss of strength. You saw a ton of arthritic-type pains in their joints, like inflammational type pains, due to the lack of stability and the lack of strength. So I've seen it firsthand. I literally know this is true. So I know the research, I know the common sense about it, I know kind of the anatomy of it, and I've literally seen human beings who struggled with it. So this is something the client and I are going to work on, is how do we account for the limitation and pain they're having to kind of reduce that and eliminate that pain. I want them to be pain-free when they squat, but not take away all of the shoulder strength and stabilization. So some thoughts, and this is stuff that you would be able to apply if you're struggling with the same issue, is we want to use less externally demanding squat options, such as a safety squat bar, camber bar squats. You can do high bar squats if that's an easier position for you, and do those in kind of like building seasons, and maybe fluctuate them into your training as like a shoulder deload. So if you do regular low bar back squats, say you do it for 2 or 3 programs, then you throw in 1 program where you use a variation that doesn't have the external rotational demand. typically you would be able to do that away from competition. So then as you get closer to competition, you would have to get into back squats, but maybe only two or three programs right into the meet. And then as soon as you're done with the meet, you can back off into no stress positions, such as a safety squat bar, which would be very little, like there's going to be no external rotation stress there. But you can do that. You can kind of do waves through different positions, safety squat bar, camber squat, camber bar squats, and high bar squats, rotate through those, then lead back into low bar squatting. So that's one option. Another one is an option for bench press. Now, this client is having no pain in their bench press. They're actually damn near ready for a PR in bench press. They're super fine, no pain there, awesome, excellent. But if you've been dealing with shoulder pain for a while, it's probably bled over into affecting your bench press. If so, then you would want to only bench with a barbell once a week. So if you're benching multiple times, get away from the barbell. On the other times, maybe just keep it once a week. If you're already doing it once a week and it hurts, stop doing it at all once a week. Do other variations, do other bars. There are angle grip barbells that can help. Sometimes people find an alleviation of shoulder pain with a Duffalo bar or a Buffalo bar. So if so, great, awesome, you can do that. Just try to get away from a full external rotational torque. And that would be an angled grip bar, neutral grip bar. You can do dumbbells for a while. Just like even machines, it's not going to be as good. You do want to do some free weights. But like a Sornex Hurricane, that's an option. If you have access to one of those, which no one does, but I used to. So that would be a great option to bench press with because it's a blend of a machine and a free weight. But you can also use shortened range of motion movements where you don't go all the way down to the chest. So like a Spoto press, or if you do like block presses, that would be a good way to still load the positions of the bench press, still work on technique development, but you're not going to move through the full range of motion, bringing the bar all the way to the chest. So if you can use variations, you can shorten the range of motion, and that'll reduce some of the shoulder stress. And then you want to include enough external rotation like therapies so you can start to eliminate and reduce the pain you're feeling with squat and bench. You would do enough of them to get pain-free and then maintain enough to maintain pain-free, but you don't need to continue to push past that. Some clients I've worked with, they've had like movement screens done from physical therapists, and I will tell you right now, if you're even if you're in your like your 20s, but if you're in your 30s plus years old, you're probably not moving 100%. If you do functional movement screening for elite athletes, you will find deficiencies in people who are freaking Hall of Famer athletes. And most notably, there was a wide receiver for the Steelers. He lost his mind. I can't remember his name right now. But he was really good, like tiptoeing on the edge, the sideline. He lost his mind and then got traded from the Steelers. I grew up near Pittsburgh, so I'm familiar with the Steelers. But I can't remember his name. But then he went to like Tampa Bay Buccaneers and all those other things. But he was excellent at linear movement, but he had horrendous external rotation, and it was interesting to see that in his hips. Like there was a video I watched where like a trainer was talking about that. And he was actually doing like a challenge where he had to do different type of challenging drills with different sports. And he was awful at external rotational type movements. He was built for one thing, and that's the one thing he was built for. That's it. So you're going to see sometimes with elite level athletes, they might fail functional movement screens. But they're Hall of Famers and they're elite. That's just the way it is. So if you get a functional movement screen done and somebody's like, you know, oh, you don't have, you know, you only have 90% of your shoulder mobility, that's actually pretty damn good. You know, like one of the things I laugh at is I'll have somebody come to me and they're like, oh, I was talking to my physical therapist and they said I can't do, you know, an overhead squat. Therefore, I need to be doing physical therapy and I'm not healthy. And I'm like, you're fine. Like, who the hell can do an overhead squat? There are people that can do it and there is a need to be healthy. But I'm just saying it's unnecessary and it's unlikely that people are going to be able to move every single joint in 100% range of motion, 100% strong, 100% pain-free. It's just not practical. It's not life. But people who do movement screens and they take advantage of the fact that people will fail them, they'll do that for money, which is a bummer. I'm not against functional movement screens. I've read the books and I know all that stuff. But you have to use them with the understanding of what the athlete is working towards, what's their goals. So they might be deficient in some movement patterns, but that really isn't impactful or necessary to focus on. With that said, we do want to add some therapies to get rid of pain associated with external rotation. But once the pain is gone, keep the therapies enough to keep the pain gone, but don't continue down the rabbit hole and just spend now the first 30, 40 minutes of your workouts doing shoulder external rotational therapies. You do not need to be doing that much. So I'm going to read through the adjustments I made in this client's program so you can see kind of the amount that we build in and how I build that in. In their programming, they squat on Monday, bench on Wednesday, deadlift on Friday, and then do a bench accessory day on Saturday. So we have four workouts per week. Now, they bench actually on Monday as well. So they squat and do a little bit of a bench accessory. Then they bench on Wednesday. They like benching on Monday because it's a little bit of a primer for them to like kind of refine technique. And then when they come in on Wednesday, you know, everything feels dialed in and they can get right into the good stuff. So that's a little bit of a nuance there. Is our main bench day is Wednesdays, but they do like to bench still on Monday. Okay, so Monday, in regards to external rotational therapies, because I don't want to get too into the weeds of the entire program, one of the things we start with is foam rolling. They foam roll their adductor, their TFL, and their upper lat connection. The upper lat connection is going to impact external rotation. If you have tight lats, that can contribute to external rotational pain in the shoulders. So you want to test your lat mobility, like your lat range of motion, and make sure you can have like free, full range of motion. You should be able to lift your arm directly straight above your head like you're reaching to the ceiling without any pain, without any restriction. If you feel pain in that or if you feel restriction in that, then hell yeah, you got some work to do. And one of the things you could do is to focus on the lats. So you can do a foam rolling, which is good. You can do a doorway stretch, which is helpful. And you can do that with bands. But we do lat stretching for clients that have any issues with shoulder mobility and or I think there might potentially be issues with shoulder mobility. We'll do lat therapies. Then they do some hip drills, then they get into their preparation for squats, and then they squat. Now, part of the preparation for squat, since squat is the issue we're having the pain with, we're going to have external rotational therapies right before we squat. So not only do we foam roll the lats, we're also going to do what's called a Y raise with the band. And we're actually going to have the band at their face height and do a Y raise. This is, in a sense, It's an overhead lateral raise, but instead of pulling against weight like gravity, we're actually anchoring a band at their face and they're pulling back up over their head. So think about like whenever like a team scores a touchdown in football, the umpire has the arms up over the head like they're making a touchdown signal. We're going to do that with bands. So they're going to take their arms from in front of their face up over their head like they're making a touchdown signal with a band resistance. Then we're going to do what's called a Cuban press. You can search on YouTube for this. Type in Brutal Iron Gym Cuban press. You can see a video of me showing you how to do that. But that's a really good technique and exercise for external rotational mobility, but also stabilization. So that's extremely important for the squat, since not only are we wanting to get the external rotation, but we also want to brace and squeeze and contract to hold that externally rotated position. So they're going to blend those into some lower body movement things. Then they squat. Then before we go into bench press after squats, we're actually going to be doing some cable lat pull downs behind the neck isometrics. So they're going to sit into a cable lat pull-down machine. They're going to pull the bar actually behind their head. They might only get to the crown of their head. They might get to their like hairline. They might actually get to their upper back. Probably not if they're having shoulder pain. So they might be just the crown of their head. But we're going to do a lat pull down. Pull it down as low as they can comfortably. Focus on externally rotating the elbow and really tightening down and controlling and stabilizing that position. Now, we're doing this right after squats, so I know the tissue is going to be kind of pried open from squatting. One of the ways to sustain increased mobility is to actually flex and contract and squeeze the muscles loaded under weighted resistance. It once you've already opened them up. So once you open up range of motion, you want to actually weight load and contract and hold that contracted position, and that actually holds the increase of the range of motion. So if you just stretch and it seems to go away by the next workout, load the stretched position, and then it'll stay longer. And then we go into our bench press. And then what we do on Wednesdays before we bench, we have some lacrosse ball rolling for the chest, lacrosse ball rolling for the lats. We do some band single arm external rotational drills with the elbow down and elbow up. And then we go into some chest release stretches, and then they bench press. That's a big day. And the reason why I put it there is they're going to be quite like very tight after squatting. So we want to open that back up before they bench. So we're going to go through those drills. And then after bench, we're again going to do behind the neck pull downs. And then we're doing some chest flies and some bench press to help open up the chest muscles, but also to train the pressing muscles. Then on the deadlift day, we really don't have anything in there that's going to challenge external rotation because we just did a lot of tissue stress and irritation on Monday and Wednesday. I want them to have a long time to heal, so we're not going to annoy it on Friday. And then on Saturday, we're going to do the foam rolling for the lat again. We're going to do the lacrosse ball for the chest and lats. And then we're going to do, again, just a regular lat pull down, and that helps open up the lats as well. But then we don't do anything else. So no irritation whatsoever on the third workout. Very minor, actually not really, irritation on the fourth workout. So before squats, we do enough just to get ready for squats. And then after squats, we load the tension, load the range of motion, so that way we sustain that range of motion. So that's a big key, is when you want to open up range of motion and actually keep it, you have to load it. So a side note on all this is different anatomies will cause people to value or devalue shoulder therapies. They might have an anatomy where shoulder external rotation is no problem for them. They're going to say, I've never had any problems whatsoever. You know, I don't do anything for my shoulders and they're healthy. Good for you. Congratulations. But there are going to be people who struggle with this due to anatomy their entire competitive career. It doesn't mean they don't know how to train. It doesn't mean they're stupid or anything. It's just anatomy-wise, this is a challenge and they've got to work on that. If you're in that category, don't beat yourself up. This is one of the things you got to work on, and that's just it. It's the way it is, you know? So some people will say they don't do anything, and that's probably true for them, but it doesn't mean it's true for everyone. So if you have shoulder pain, you're not doing anything wrong, you just got to work on it. So what you want to do is, like we said, is cycle in different squat variations so you can get in and out of various positions. So that way you're not always in the most externally rotated demanding position. You want to cycle through them to get like deloads of external rotational stress. You can also cycle through your bench variations if you find that the bench is also contributing to shoulder pain. And then you want to add in shoulder therapies before squats and bench, but then give the shoulder therapies a rest on your other days so that way the tissue can heal and actually get stronger. So hopefully this was helpful to know that it's a relatively easy fix. Add in some shoulder therapies, cycle through some barbell positions for squat and bar and bench press, and you're going to give your body some time to strengthen and increase mobility, but then also be able to maintain some degree of structural stabilization in the squat and bench press. So hopefully that was helpful. There was a lot of information. I know I went through it kind of quickly, but I wanted to kind of introduce it, throw it out there, let you digest it, and then you can reach back out if you have any questions. Awesome. Well, if you need anything, you can always go to our homepage, www.brutalirongym.com. You can send me a message at the bottom of the page. You can also check out our other services. We have one-on-one coaching for nutrition and training, or one or the other. We have ghost writing programs for personal trainers and a lot of other stuff, as well as some free information on the website. So check it all out. If you like the podcast, please share the podcast. If you like the podcast, please consider donating to support the podcast, which you can do on our website. Also, if you like the information we share in the podcast, you can find more from us on our social media channels. You can find us and follow us on Instagram and YouTube under the name Brutal Iron Gym. As always, I hope this was helpful, and thank you for listening.